This morning, it is a pleasure of mine to be able to stand behind these pulpits, and Ray, to have you here with me as we share together. We're going to be looking out of the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we've been in a study on the Beatitudes. And as we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount and all the words that Jesus had to speak to us, we have really been learning a lot and gleaning much from what Pastor Dane has been sharing with us in his weekly messages. And so today you get myself and Ray, and we're just honored to be here and to share together. And before I get into that, I would just like to say a special thank you on behalf of Nan, myself, and Pastor Dane and Bev and Matthew for your kindness towards us for the Pastor's Appreciation Month. And I'd like to just say a heartfelt thank you for each card and for each blessing that you sent our way. You are the most wonderful congregation of all churches, and I want you to know that, okay? So can you just give it up for yourself this morning? I just say a heartfelt thanks to each one of you. All right, well, Ray, we're going to open the scriptures this morning, and as you're following along with us in the Bible, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with us to Matthew, to the sixth chapter. That is where we're going to pick up today. We're going to be considering the rest of the chapter. So we've got quite a few verses here that we're going to be contemplating and sharing with you. And Ray, good to see you. How are you doing today?
Good. Good. Real good.
Good.
A little nervous, but I'll be okay.
They say that that's really good. If you're not nervous, something is wrong.
Okay.
And well, because I share that too.
If you all will say amen once in a while, it'll just kind of relieve the nerves and all. You know what I mean? Anybody say amen? Oh, okay, good.
So why don't you begin with Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and
okay.
You consider the words that are set there before you.
Okay, now I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and I'm going to read the passage that I will be speaking on. I just want to tell you ahead of time, this is going to be new for me because Michael said 15 minutes, and then he gets his turn, and you guys time us because I want to see if we stick with
15 minutes and 45.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Okay, 19th verse. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I was thinking, Michael, about things that are happening in our world today. And my wife was sharing with me how that her friend who lives in Colorado lives kind of out of the city, and fires are all taking place across Colorado, and they were getting close to where she was living, and they had to evacuate, and they had to choose the things that were important to them, the things they really valued. It was really challenging because when you're faced with a crisis like that, and you stop and think, what would I take? What are the most important things that I would want to keep that are memories or things that are precious to me?
Yeah.
And then I was also thinking of my oldest son, Lance, who has worked 25 years on the ranch, and the owners of the ranch are multimillionaires. And they decided to sell the ranch because the main owner is 80 years old, and he thought, well, his kids really weren't interested in this ranch, and so let's just sell it so there won't be any issues with it. And in the sale of the ranch, which it sold for $6.6 million, so it was quite a lot of money to spend on buying it, the idea was to sell it with everything on it goes to the new buyer. And the new buyer happens to be a part of the Swan family, Swan Foods, and all, and worth $3 billion. I can't even imagine those kinds of figures. I'm worth 25 cents, but anyway, when he was talking to the sellers, he said, you know, these things are personal. I don't have any use for these things, so you just take whatever are personal to you, and you keep them. And my son Lance said, you know, it was really interesting to me to see how people become very greedy. And they were very expensive paintings, rugs, and furniture, and everything. And all of a sudden, family members who haven't been to the ranch for a long time show up, you know. And not only that, but there were people in town who knew the ranch had sold, knew there was items there, had no investment in the ranch, but came wanting free items. Oh. And I thought, you know, this really speaks to our passage today. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. I was listening to Dennis Prager, and he made this statement. He said, the worst addiction, more addictive than heroin, is free stuff. And once you start getting free stuff, you just get addicted and say, why can't I have more free stuff? Free education, free car, free whatever it might be. And Jesus recognized that in our life, it's important that we establish priorities. And you know, those priorities that we establish begin with having a right perception. And so you ask the question, which Jesus asked, he didn't actually ask it. He said, if your eye is good, then it's going to affect how you live. The lamp of the body is the eye. And if the eye is good, the whole body is full of light. And now, he used the illustration of an eye, and we think of the eye in the natural sense, the physical eye. And we see with our eyes. We get up in the morning and we make decisions to do certain things. We have to have good eyesight. Recently, I had cataract surgery. Did you know that cataracts grow gradually? And you don't realize you're losing your eyesight because they're so gradual. And actually, my left eye was so bad, but I didn't realize how bad it was because I compensated with the right eye. And when I finally put my hand over my right eye, I could hardly see out of my left eye. I said, I'm not one to really go to the eye doctor annually like I should. But I said, I better go see what's the matter. Well, I had let these cataracts grow for so long. And once they did this surgery, I was amazed at the clarity and the brightness and the vision I had. And you know, they take that old dirty lens out and put a new lens in. And I wore glasses since I was 14 years old. And it was so amazing to, when I wanted to know what time it was, I didn't have to get up and put my glasses on to look at the clock, because the cataract surgery had cleared the vision that I had. But Jesus isn't talking about the physical eye. He's using it as an illustration to help us to see the importance of setting right priorities. He's talking about the spiritual eyesight. And throughout Scripture, we see this. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the riches of his calling and what is the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. So he's talking about a spiritual insight, and our spiritual insight influences how we live.
Yes.
The things that we do. And yes, we need to keep our eyes focused on the right things. Throughout the Bible, we are told that our Christian journey is like a race that is run. And you know that athletes, when they're running a race, they keep their eyes focused on the finish line. And in Hebrews, it says we have a great cloud of witnesses. And he says, because of those witnesses, we need to run this race, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. You see, Jesus looked beyond the suffering and the pain. What he saw was what it would do for you and I. His death would change our lives. And so as we look to him as the perfecter of our faith, that's the spiritual eyes that Jesus is talking about.
Amen.
And he speaks here throughout Scripture. He says, they have eyes to see but do not see. They may be ever seeing but never perceiving. Jesus is saying, you got to get rid of the cataracts. You got to have clear vision. You got to see things from a perspective of your faith in God. Now, cataract surgery removes the dirty lenses, and you get clean lenses. And in a spiritual sense, the same thing has to happen to us as believers. And Jesus puts it this way, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's talking throughout the whole sermon here about kingdom living.
Yes.
What it's like to follow Christ, and it's a spiritual kingdom, and therefore our priorities need to be spiritual. So what is it that blurs our visions, our vision, and so that we can't see? He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a word used by the Chaldeans for the money god. It speaks of a system of materialism that is very dominant in our human society. When you focus things on your self-interest, it's easy to lose sight of your relationship with God. When we let ordinary things, such as our jobs, recreation, social media, TV, possessions, such things that are not wrong in themselves, but they can cause us to forget the important things, and our vision becomes blurred to the things of God. It becomes blurred because our priorities are distorted. We're not seeing things as God wants us to see them. So we have to have right motives. Right motives lead us to right priorities. Pastor Dane says, you got to have a right motive when you give. He didn't say stop giving. Have the right motive. Right motive in your praying. Don't just pray words, but have right motives. Go into the closet, get in touch with God.
Yeah.
He says, right fasting. We didn't hear a lot of amens that Sunday. Did you notice that? It wasn't that great. But it's true. It's dedicating ourselves to saying, I'm not going to eat a meal today. I'm going to just spend time in eating that which is good and delighting myself in the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's right priorities. And where do these right priorities start from? It starts from the heart. Listen to what he says here. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, the heart is the control center of what we do in life and mm-hmm. what we value in life and how we set our priorities. You will notice that Jesus taught about the heart when he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't know about you, this has been a very unusual year, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
We look around, and one of the things that I see is there's a lot of evil in the world. And people say, you know, why is there so much evil in the world? And Jesus said evil begins in the heart. The evil that is in the heart, and only God can change the heart.
Yes.
You know, we can say, oh, these people are bad because they're of this political persuasion. No, they're not bad because of any political persuasion. In the heart, it needs to change. Yeah. The evil comes from the heart. And the same should be true of us as Christians. We should do good deeds because the treasure is in the heart.
Yes.
And where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. And our priorities are on things above, where Christ is.
Amen.
We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I love Isaiah. He's a poetic speaker just admire. And he says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread?
Yep.
And your wages for that which does not satisfy? And that's the question we need to ask. Where are we focusing our attention? What are we doing, not just with our treasures of money, but our treasures that God gives us of time, of our talents? Are we using them for the kingdom of God? And so many times I think we read passages like this and we say, well, we don't have a lot of money. We're not billionaires or millionaires. We're just ordinary people. And the people that are up on the stage, man, they have talent. But you know, God has given us each one time and talent. And what are we doing with them?
Yeah.
Where are our treasures? And I was thinking of this because I've got a lot more time now that I'm retired. I don't like that word, but anyway, I'll use it because I'm not in full-time ministry anymore. But I think of, I want to have purpose in my life. I want to be having treasures in heaven. And you know, there are a lot of things that we can do if we just have the right vision.
That's right.
And if we get up in the morning and we see our neighbor, why not cook something up like banana bread or something and just take it over to them and say, you know, I appreciate you, or call somebody that is sick. You know, you all have been given a wonderful treasure of prayer.
Yes.
Do you value prayer? Is it a priority in your life? If it is, then take time to pray. And then when you're praying for someone, writing a note to them and say, you give them this prayer that Paul says, oh, I'm praying for you today that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened that you may know the riches of his calling. You know, there's so many things we do, but you know, the things of this world, they can come in and blind us or cause us to have excuses for not doing it. But I believe that when we have our heart on God, God will, through His Spirit, open our eyes to see opportunities that are given to us. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm really preaching to myself. I want to do more in sharing the treasures that God has given me. And I've often thought of this, you know, you get in a habit of getting online, reading your emails or things on Facebook, and often Dane will write a devotional or he'll say, pray for so-and-so. And you know, I've been guilty of it. Have you stopped and just prayed right then?
Yeah.
I've been guilty of not doing that. But we can do that if we just make it a priority.
Yeah.
We say,
I'm going to put my treasures in heaven where God is. So there's something that every one of us can do. I'm just going to tell you a little story to close this out. Did I stay in 15 minutes?
Pretty good? You're doing great.
Pretty good. Okay. I've kind of like watching this, and I can't even think of the title of this program on TV. It's in Discovery Channel, but it's two guys that go around in a van and they find all this old stuff and that has value to it.
American Pickers.
Is that what it is? American Pickers.
Yeah.
And I just have to laugh. This, you'll get a kick out of this story because they go to places, and usually the buildings are filled with things that the guy has just accumulated for years and years. Sometimes it's somebody who's accumulated this stuff and passed away, and their kids don't know what to do with it, and they don't even know where things are. But this one time, it was an interesting story. The guy had cars, old cars, cars of value. And these two men that go and get this stuff and sell it, they were so excited because there were some old cars. Well, you go in there and they couldn't find the old cars. There was stuff everywhere stacked on everything. And I'm not into old cars, so I can't tell you, but this old car, I think it was a 1936, was of real value. And he said, I've got this 36, let's say Ford, I don't know what it was, coupe or whatever they called. And he says, I really like this thing. He said, oh, where is it? Well, it's out back. So he goes out to the shop, and here's all these trees, vines, over this old 1936 car. I can't part with that. And it's under vines. And he said, how long have you had it? Well, 15 years. Well, have you ever driven it? Well, I took it around the driveway once. Here's a guy that wouldn't part with something that was out in the backyard with vines and trees all around it, had no real use, but he wouldn't part with it because it was a 1936 whatever it was. I'm just saying, people, you've got talents. Don't let weeds grow around them. Yeah. Don't let vines crawl up. I mean, this thing was rusty, and what it, you don't want to protect your valuable things. Then put your treasures in heaven. Begin doing kindness to others. Begin doing thoughtful things and praying. And yes, investing your time and money in the kingdom of God. And one day, I believe we're going to stand before God. He's going to say, well done. You did something with the treasure that you had. And here it is. It's safe. It's protected. There's no thieves up here to steal it. There's no rust to destroy it.
Amen.
And no moth. It's safe and protected. Where your investment is,
amen.
That's where your heart is. Is your heart in the things of God and the things of heaven. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I so appreciate that. And my heart concurs with what you say, Ray. And that the Lord would remove the cataracts from the spiritual eyes of our hearts, that we would have our focus on the things of Christ. The next thing that Jesus talks about is the subject that probably every one of us have been acquainted with this past week or this past month or this past year. We've talked about money, we've talked about possessions. Now, Jesus quickly changes and he starts to talk about that one subject that we're all familiar with, and that is worry. Everybody say worry.
Worry.
Raise your hand this morning if you have worried about something this past week. Raise your hand with me. Look at that. Okay. How many in the past month have you worried about something? Just raise your hands there. Matthew, I'm going to forego my little video clip right now, but I just want to go into this here real quick because Jesus says this. In the 25th verse, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Can we all say that together? Do not worry. He says,
these are the things that I don't want you to worry about. He says, I don't want you to worry about your life. Are the words on the back here? I'm looking at verse 25. If we had the words on the screen back there, if you're not, you can look in your Bible. But Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry about your life. And then he says, do not worry about what you are going to eat or drink. Aren't you glad that Jesus kind of got off the fasting thing? Now he's talking about, I'm glad he's talking about this part here. But do not worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Do not worry about where you're going to take Pastor Michael and Nan for lunch today. Yes. It's all right. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink, he says. And don't worry about your body, what you are going to wear to church, what you're going to wear to work, what you're going to wear to school. It's okay. Don't worry about these things. And then Jesus, during this passage, he asks us five questions. And they're right here. The first question, and it's right here. It says this, is not life more important than food? And the answer is
yes.
Life is more important than food, okay? And then he says this, and the body more important than the clothes? Your body is far more important than the clothes that you wear. And yet you put so much emphasis on the clothes you wear. And guys, Jesus doesn't care about all the latest styles. And I don't think he's walking around in Nikes today up in heaven. I just don't see it. Maybe he is. But that's not what is important to him. What is important to Jesus is what is on the inside of your heart. And then he says, look at the birds of the air. I thought about it this week. I thought, Michael, that would be kind of nice if I had my third high top right here and I had a bird cage and I had a bird in it and I could just pull the sheet off of it and there's a bird. But the bird was busy. And so look at the birds of the air. See the bird right here. They do not sow. They do not reap or store away in barns, Ray. And yet, our Heavenly Father, he feeds all the birds in the air. Isn't that great? I just love it, you know. Sometimes he causes roadkill to kill them, to feed them. But bad for one, good for another. And then he asks this question. Are you not much more valuable than they? And I want to let you know that you are much more valuable. We are much more valuable to God. And yet, God takes care of feeding the little birds. And if God takes care of the little finches and the little sparrows, God is going to take care of you. Ray, you took about 8 minutes of my time, so I got to hurry here.
Did I go over?
Well, I wouldn't say you went over, you went long. Okay, question number three that he asked is this. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? You can worry all you want, but it's not going to add any moments to your life. Okay, worry is something that you have control over. Worry is like the emotion anger. People don't make you angry. You choose. They do stuff that you choose how you're going to respond to them. You choose if you are going to worry. And then he asks this question in verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? He keeps coming back to clothes. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Ray, I tell you this, that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And then question number five, he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Little King James word there, right there, ye. O you of little faith. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about the clothing. Don't worry about the job. Don't worry. There's a difference between worry and concern. Worry is something that will cripple you. Concern is something to be concerned about. And I'm not saying don't be concerned about a job. I'm not saying don't be concerned about clothes. I'm not saying don't be concerned about food. Yeah, those concerns. But don't let it cross the line of going into the worry factor. Okay? Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, they run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I just get out of that chair just a second? That thing's confining. I as I was studying and I was going through this, there was something that just really hit me. And that is this. Jesus, when he is giving this wonderful, tremendous message, in chapter 5, in chapter 6, 11 times he says, do not. When Jesus says, do not, I think, Ray, that we need to take heed to it. And 11 times Jesus says, do not. He says, do not murder. He says, do not commit adultery. That's a good one. We shouldn't commit adultery. We shouldn't kill people. Okay? Are we all on the same page there? Amen. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
And he says, do not lie. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, do not swear. Do not get even. And I don't have a problem with that, with getting even. I get ahead. The next one he says, do not turn down a borrower. If somebody needs to borrow something, let them lend it to them. Do not be a hypocrite. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not keep on babbling. Okay, I'm shutting up here real quick. Do not be like the pagans. And do not store up treasures on this earth. And so 11 times he says, do not. But guess what? When Jesus talks about worry, three times, as I was doing my study here, he says, do not worry. Three times he said it. In verse 25, he said, do not worry. In verse 31, he said, do not worry. In verse 34, he said, do not worry. I think Jesus is sending a loud message to us, Ray. And I think that message is simply this. It is within our power. It is within our power to choose what we are going to do when the challenges and issues of life face us. It's up to us to say, I'm going to worry about this, or I am not going to worry about this. That is a choice that you and I have, and I choose not to worry. I choose to not worry. So I want to leave you with several passages real quick. Psalm 121, it says this. If you don't have it, just write it down. You can look at it later. I don't have the words on the board, but this is, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, so don't worry, okay? My help comes from the Lord, so don't worry. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Don't you love that one? He's not going to let your foot slip, so don't worry about your foot. Your foot is going to be solid in Jesus Christ. He said he watches over you, and he will not slumber. I like that. He's not going to take naps on you. How many of you like taking naps occasionally?
Amen.
That's all right. That's a good thing. That might help some of you with your worry. Take a nap in the afternoon. It won't hurt you. Don't go too far, Ray. Guess what? Jesus is helping us to overcome our worry. It says, He watches over you and He will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will not, neither slumber or sleep. And so that means He's not going to go to sleep on you when you have worries. He says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. What is the cure for worry? Write this one down. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7. It says, cast all your worries. Cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. Can you say amen to that? And the last one is this. What is the cure for worry? It is within our text, Ray. And that is this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everybody say that together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things. What things? The food, the clothing, the jobs, the things of life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things, Ray, are going to be added unto us because of His faithfulness. We sang a song this morning, and they're going to sing the chorus here. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Victory has a name, and it's Jesus. The Word has a name, and it's Jesus. New Life Fellowship, I would invite you at this time to just stand with us, if you would. If you're watching at home today, I invite you. If you want to remain seated, that's fine. But if you would, in your hearts, just make an altar before the Lord. What we want to do, Ray and I, we're going to have prayer with you here in just a moment. But I want the praise team to sing this one song, the chorus. And as they sing the chorus, let it get a hold of your heart. Take your worries today. Take the thing that has gripped your heart, those things that you're really worried about, and do what the Word of God says. Cast your worries upon Jesus Christ because He cares for you. It doesn't mean that they're not there. It doesn't mean that it's real. Those are real things that you're concerned about. Those are real things that you're worried about. But Jesus says, let me take your worries. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and cast your cares upon me. And let me take your burden upon you, upon me, and your burden will become really light.